My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people over at JulieLand.com. Today, as always, I am joined by the greatest photographer in the world, Mr. Richard Avery.
What?
Who is that guy?
What?
He's kind of a dick, is from what I heard.
Yes.
So today, Mr. Avery, is a topic that you know a fair amount about. We're going to talk about photography.
Ooh.
Be a shutterbug, if you will. That's what I believe you are. Today, I brought in a guest who also does photography, Mr. Stills by Allen.
Hello.
How's it going? Is Stills your first name and By is your middle name?
It's a common misconception, actually.
Okay. That's like, I want to know, like, hi, yeah. Mr. Allen, and is it Stills?
Yo, Stills. Yo, Stills, what's up?
Because your parents had a good sense of humor.
Well, they just knew. They had foresight.
Exactly.
I didn't really have a lot of options and professions at that point.
Exactly. You're like, Mom, I want to be a director and direct videos. Nope, sorry, you can't.
Yep, you're only doing photos.
Yeah, actually, before that exact reason, when I came up with that name, I never realized things would go as far as they did. You know, it just sounded like a clever name that the website was available to. But it's funny, I don't want to change it because that's how everybody knows me now. But like I've had people literally, I'm like looking at how I'm like in their phone and my first name is Stills By and my last name is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's funny.
So what exactly do you do?
I am a photographer, but specifically speaking, I have about 10 years of experience in on-set still photography on the set of porno movies, mostly features.
Very nice.
What companies?
Well, I've worked for pretty much every company in the business. A couple of exceptions, sure. But I've worked for Wicked. I've worked for Vivid. I've directed for even both of those companies.
Cool.
But I have also shot for Hustler, New Sensations, Bluebird, Digital Playground, Adam and Eve. I'm sure I'm not even scratching the surface, but Brazzers. A lot of sites.
Wow.
He's done a lot. And
how many years?
Going on about my 10th year.
Wow.
No, I met Alan about, I'm guessing it was about almost, about 6 years ago, I'm thinking six, maybe, yeah, I'm guessing six, on a set for New Sensations. Actually, it was the first time we met, and he was doing stills for a Andre Madness movie. Yes. And that was the first time I met him, and he started doing stills for Andre, for Adam and Eve, and maybe again for New Sensations, but mostly for Adam and Eve. And so I was Andre's PM, or I was Andre's PA, whatever I was on set, and so that's how Alan and I met and did that. And so I've seen him grow over the past 6 years. Leaps and bounds photo wise from where he was to where he is, and it's watch him, he shoots everything. Adam and Eve is very much about shooting on a white seamless, and I think that's something that some people can do, some people really really can't do. Right. And he was always really good at that, and so we were able to get a product to Adam and Eve that showed, hey, you can knock this out and not have an issue. So he kept getting rehired because he did a good job for us.
Wow.
So I mean, I think pretty much anyone can shoot sex when it comes down to it. I mean people get in there, but to actually do pretty girls, to get an attractive image that is not just used for the porno box, but to be used for advertising. Other, I've seen.
Do
your
people
images.
Even care about stills anymore for that? It's the sex stuff, though.
It's more important than ever.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because the video really boils down to. There's an image gallery, sure, but in the DVD days, it was all about the box cover image,
right.
And now in the era of the internet, it's all about the tour image. You know what I mean? So ultimately, your scene that you shot is going to be. Boiled down to one image in a thumbnail.
But can't you pull that off of the, since we're everybody shooting HD anyways, pull it off that image right out of the scene?
Yeah, I mean, you sure could, and especially with 4K cameras now, why not, you know? But there's something to actually having someone's attention. There's something to actually, like, directing someone and not just trying to pick out a moment. You know what I mean? Like lift your leg, do this. Like you can be much more free with the direction and much more accurate with the direction in a still than you could be in the video, where every time you open your mouth, you know you're costing yourself.
Right. Okay.
Now, going back to just the basic photography. Now, Richard Avery, you started back in like the early 1900s with cyanotypes and Van Dyke Browns.
Yes.
With the daguerreotype.
Yes. You're glass plates. You're in a tent.
I'm old.
You're doing that. But you started off with film, of course.
Correct.
This is obviously way pre-digital.
Yes. When I started, a roll of film was 65 cents.
65 cents. So back in the day, where did you just start off with a... Canon AE-1 and roll of film type thing, or
Nikon F2, baby.
Nikon. Oh, there you go. There you go. I started off with the Canon.
Back in my day, you weren't a real photographer unless you had a Nikon F2.
Well, I had an FM2 at one point in time.
I'm a wannabe photographer.
Oh, ouch. So you're saying that my Minolta X700 that I got in high school wasn't really cutting it?
No.
So I came up in during the film age as well. You know, we were still doing it. I went to school.
Who doesn't love film?
I love film, and I miss film. I still have film in the drawer in my house, holding on to it for the one day when I decide I'm going to spend the money and actually have it processed after shooting it. Alan, how about you?
What's film?
I made that a very leading question for an obvious reason. Alan,
no, but that's
Alan's never shot on film.
Ever?
No. Well, I mean, I took a photography course in high school. I couldn't really get into it.
Right.
Professionally and seriously, never.
Right. No, yeah. I believe that, though. I mean, I have our intern and lots of other, I mentor 12 photographers right now and counting. Mm-hmm. And I'd say most of them have never shot film. Like Sherry's example, I don't think she's ever shot film.
Now, I came from, when I went to school in the mid-90s,
right.
You had to have certain things. You couldn't just go out. You had to be able to expose film, know right. that your product was going to come out on the final end. We used Polaroid as an example, but that wasn't an exact thing. When you're shooting slide film, you're either you're on or you're off. And if you're off, you're not getting hired again.
Right.
There was the once, there wasn't looking you at had the back to
really,
of your camera.
You had to care about your exposures, and you had to think about ratios and lighting ratios and from your highlights to your dark spots. Mm-hmm. You had to think about the zone system and all this crazy things back in the day. You had to be accurate. Now you can be a stop off either way and not even give a fuck and deal with it later. I mean,
now do you have, I mean, obviously I think all three of us now shoot exclusively digital.
Right.
Just
so you know, one photo set on Julie Land, I'll show it to you, but one photo set on Julie Land is done by film. The rest is all digital.
Now, do you have a different respect for people that came from film?
No,
as
not
opposed
at all.
To no,
not at all.
So you're going. The image is the image.
I hate when people are snobs and say, "Oh, you know, it's all about film, or it's all about digital." Fuck, it's whatever.
So it comes down to the image.
It's like the end result is the image, and it's also whatever you enjoy. Mm-hmm. I do lectures. I've done lectures for years, and I meet people. And these young kids will be like, "I don't even want to touch film," or you meet some little hipster kid who's like, "I only shoot film." I go, don't be one or the other. Sure. Just do it all. Like it's, I've been shooting forever. So you just do it all and you try it all. And I always tell people, I worked in color labs for 3.5 years. I worked in black and white labs for 3.5 years. All that experience of being in the labs and building dark rooms and doing everything affects how I looked at Photoshop when Photoshop started. Because I know color. And so it changes everything. So everything helps everything, and not, 100%, but everything helps, just like life. It all kind of fits in. And when you're shooting digital, I would say, like, if you don't want to ever shoot film, don't do it. But if you do, try it. You might be surprised.
So, Alan, looking back then, photography, you came in during the digital age. And again, no judgment against anybody. I like to give people shit because I am kind of the snob of film, but...
You're old.
I'm not that old. We're all Alan's the same age as I am. He's old too. But do you pay attention to where a photographer came from? Do you have certain people that you're inspired by that are older, that are not necessarily didn't come up in the digital age?
Are you talking about mainstream or like?
Sure, mainstream porn. Any sort of photographers that would have been around 20 years ago before digital, their images stand the test of time. Without, say, Photoshop and retouching and everything like that.
I really wish I was more of like a art history buff like that, where I knew about like old school photographers and stuff like that. Like I mostly know about like photographers during my lifetime and like people who I had seen their images and, I like David LaChapelle. I liked how it was all colorful and backlit. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? I like Holly Randall's stuff for that same reason. Laurent Skye in the business I really liked.
Okay.
There was a mainstream photographer named Jill Greenberg who I really liked.
Mr. Avery is about ready to spit up his energy drink.
Sorry about that.
Mr. Avery, okay, are you familiar with Miss Greenberg?
I'm familiar with everybody he named.
Yes. I'm familiar with everybody. So what did you like about Jill Greenberg's work? Now, who's known for the people who don't? She's known for, she did the crying babies.
Right.
She did the monkeys. She's really known for a backlight that comes from both sides coming back on the thing. And interesting, mostly headshot. you know, type things. What did you, what were you inspired by, or what did you like about her work?
What I liked about it was actually the same thing I like about Richard's work, is that it had a very distinctive feel to it, and you knew who shot it without even anyone needing to tell you. Like, mm-hmm. I could pick off a billboard and know it was a Jill image. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, same thing with the Julieland stuff. Like, you know it. You don't even have to see the logo, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. And, like, to make that kind of, like, like, to make it where people know your photo without even, like, having a watermark or anything like that is I think, a goal. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's been my goal. Is like, I always tell people, like, I was told a long time ago that you're, as an artist, as a photographer, that you're supposed to, your goal in life is to create images that will last a lifetime, and that people will recognize them and know who they are and what they.
Of course. And I think that
everybody knows Lexi Bell is the clown.
Exactly. Now, I think, I mean,
that's
Jill,
good stuff though, man.
Drives me crazy though, because it's like even Lexi and I were like, we did better stuff than that, but everybody knows the Lexi and the clown picture.
But it's distinct, you know.
I know. It's like,
and your stuff is very well recognized. The Jill Greenberg stuff's very well recognized. But you can go even further when you talk about, you know, you and I, you know, Dick. We both come from, you know, we have some of the mutual people that we respect from the past. Richard Avedon. You can
Irving Penn.
When
David
you,
Bailey.
You when Gods. You see a Richard Avedon shot, you know it's Richard Avedon. And it's a more subtle look than, say, a Joel Greenberg or a David LaChapelle. When you see a David LaChapelle, you know it's David LaChapelle. But it's a subtler look. Even Annie Leibovitz, who I'm not a huge fan of, her stuff has a very distinct look. Her Britz's work had a very distinct look,
right,
where it set them aside without being so obviously.
Well, every photographer has, you know, first of all, you judge any artist, I don't care what they are, as a body of work. You can't judge anybody off of one photo or off a year or off of 5 years or even off of 10 years. You've mm-hmm. got to, you know, Avedon shot for 60 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Penn shot for that much, if not more. You got to judge somebody at the end of it all.
Of course.
And I think, yeah, certain photographers have had, Annie Leibovitz has had some amazing images, and to get certain things out of certain people, amazing. Herb even, amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all about that. It's kind of like everybody has done a great photo. Everybody's done some great images, but it's for how long? And for me, it was always Richard Avedon. I thought year after year, decade after decade, he was knocking him out of the park.
And it didn't matter
what he was doing, whether it was fashion, portraiture, celebrities, or not. Just insane. Like, I can tell you crazy stories, you know, about him that I know of and that I experienced. But just great stuff. That just was amazing.
And
it looks good today as if he shot it yesterday.
And that's what I look back at is that was shot on 8x10 film. That was shot on a way that wasn't retouched. It was,
right.
I mean, there were still retouching, if you will, but it was not on camera. And I was going to say, I worked for Peggy Sirota for a number of years, and I've seen I was her film coordinator for 2 years, and I've seen hundreds of thousands of her images. And she has certain, I don't know if the word, she has certain tells, or she has certain things that I know that's a Peggy Sirota right. image. Without, like, I can go through and look at the cover of GQ magazine and go, that's her. I can go to Target and say, that's her. And I think most photographers have some sort of
tell. I don't
know
if this is a compliment or an insult. I'm meaning it as a compliment. I always felt Peggy Sirota was the LA version of Annie Leibovitz.
That's an interesting.
I always felt she was our Annie Leibovitz in LA. Because there's a handful of photographers here in LA that, you know, there's guys in New York who did the kind of same thing and vice versa and everything else. But Peggy was like, you know, was the good commercial. She was commercial. She was editorial, but she was also, you know, just did that, covered that spectrum. Mm-hmm. And her style was very similar, you know, portrait-y, Hollywood and da da da. But,
and I think they're both of the same age, things like that. Alan, photography wise, even more industry related, do you see, when you look at other people's work, because you're around enough, you see different photographers in the industry, when you see, say, Jay Allen, yeah, you know, his work versus, say, Suze Randall's older work, things like that, do you look at the different people's styles, and do you have different people that you like, that you look up to and say, oh, I like that, and I don't want to say copy it, but you want to look at it and go, oh, I'd love to shoot that type of style. Do you have anybody?
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess how you expand, you know, is by watching what other people do. I love Jay's work. I love, who else do you say? Like, oh, there's a lot.
Oh,
really,
Suze Randall is obviously, I don't think she shoots at all anymore, but Holly took over, you know,
Holly's
very
work.
Well.
I think all Twisties and Babes, all those people are great. You know, Dean, like, there's so many talented people working, all the Digital Desire people. I was a huge, huge fan of Stephen Hicks, and I'm very disappointed that I never got to meet him. No, that's totally, I mean, that's how I did it, is by I looked at like what everybody else was doing and being like, oh, I like how this guy does this, and I like how this guy does this, and I like that, you know what I mean? And it all kind of, you know, evolved into like a mix of like what I liked, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, part of the influences that I have came from school, things like that, and I was heavily influenced by Avedon, different people like that. And so who are you influenced by? Are you influenced by going through a magazine? Are you influenced by what? When you look at something and go, that's what I want to shoot, is it other industry people? Do you get inspiration from outside?
It's usually a specific image, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll see just, like, a one image and I'm like, wait a minute, I love that picture. I need to know exactly how that picture was done. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like that kind of person. But certainly the crying babies, I was like, the lighting is crazy, right? Like, and then I just learned how to do that lighting, you know? And there's all kinds of different pictures that I've seen that have been very inspiring, you know?
You got to look at everything.
I agree. And that's, I have.
Most of my ideas come from Vogue, mm-hmm. Harper's Bazaar, and W, and mainly W these days. W really.
W has every moved month, up in
every
the world
month,
well.
There's something in W that just goes amazing.
And I always recommend it. And I overall.
But I've been looking at it. Seriously, I've been looking at those magazines for 30 years.
Oh, as have I. I have mm-hmm. pages of tear sheets. And I look at it and go, in general, I don't have a lot of respect for adult industry photography because it gets to be a little cookie cutter. It's the same thing over and over and over again. But that's the same way as saying that my local grocery store ad is pictures of. You know, well, the same fruit, whatever. It's something that is needed. But I always say that people, especially in the industry, should look outside of porn. Well, go pick up paper or something that's off the...
Exactly. I've said it for years. Since we started Julie Land, with Julie and I, we always talked about that. I do not look at porn. I never look at porn. I don't look, especially for ideas, I don't look at porn. Mm-hmm. That's like the last place I would ever even think of looking. I look at what I just listed, fashion magazines, or I look at a museum, or I look mm-hmm. at other music photography is a big thing to me. I love music photography, rock stars and things like that, album covers. You can't look, I'm not going to go pick up a copy of Hustler to look for an idea on how to shoot a girl. That's just not who I am.
Do you get anything from movies? I know I've sat on the couch, gotten high, and watched movies with you. Do you get anything from movies that you, I mean, I know really? You direct, but going strictly to photography, do you ever get something that you're inspired by that you look at and go, oh, I want that I can use an element of that for my images?
No, it's usually the other way around. I usually see photography that I try to apply to videography, mm-hmm. not so much the other way around. But I'd like to stick up for porn photography. Like I've seen a lot of porn photography that I think is equivalent to mainstream photography in quality. You know, the top people. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What's wrong with what they're doing? You know, the lighting's there,
But it's like my philosophy, where I come from, and I always tell people this, and everybody's fine because I'm sure all those guys make more money than I do because I make nothing. I just tell people all the time that, like, it's just that what happens, what I feel like, especially in adults, majority of adults, not all of it, because there are people out there who shoot that I really, really like, whether it's video or stills. Let's give Mime Freak a shout.
Yes, no, definitely. Mime Freak is doing very well.
Yeah, I love that guy.
So he, you know, I just feel that a majority, especially the pictures of the girls, when you do look at a Twisties and you do like, it's a girl in a couch in a house in the valley. And I always ask everybody, if you look at these pictures, if I showed you 20,000 pictures on a website, I'd say, what do you remember from it? And you'd be like, well, I saw a girl naked on a couch in a house in the valley, or I had standing in a doorway with big hair. You don't really remember. And that's my thing. Like, there are adult photographers that I used to worship back in the day. Ken Marcus was one of them. Back in the day, the guy was the shit, and he could shoot, be amazing, especially when he was shooting for Playboy. He was the best Playboy photographer Playboy ever had. People like, actually, too, Suze Randall, back in her day, when she was shooting for We Magazine, stuff like that, amazing. Philip Dixon back in the day, if you guys remember him, there was some really good shit being done. I know I'm old and I'm bitter and I'm jaded. I get that. But I just feel like a lot of the stuff nowadays, a lot of these guys, and I hear it from my girls who shoot with these guys. They all say, oh, the guy just points the camera at me. He's got a 7D, a 5D. And then they go, like, they don't even edit. They throw the shit up. They don't care. I care about every image that goes up. And you care, and we should care mm-hmm. about everything. And so a lot of times I get that's where a lot of the adult stuff, but I also get that, understand it. It's pornography. That's what they should be doing. And like I said, that's why they're making money.
Sure.
And why I'm not.
I agree with what Richard's saying. I actually really like insist on like control and post over the photos and stuff like that.
You
and
have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people don't. A lot of companies want you just to, you know. And I'll
give us the disc, and I'm great. And you're like,
well,
no.
You know, I'll hand over the raws. That's fine. Yeah. But you know, I don't know. That's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think you should take the time to do post processing on your images and edit in them. If you don't ever look at what you're shooting, how are you supposed to improve? How
exactly.
Are you see what your problems are. How you know?
Couldn't said it better myself.
But, and I think that's definitely what builds a photographer.
Line, you know, because right. like, so many people just busting stuff out, and to put that extra time in, you're costing yourself time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you got to take pride in what you do.
You know? Yeah. Exactly. And I think it's like in this, like I said, I look at pornography today and I just have always said, like, there is some really great shit going on. Every once in a while, I get blown away by what somebody does. And I'm like, wow, that's really, really good. But it's also in context of what in the world that it's in, it's like really, really good. But I also, like I said, I don't really look at that. I'm looking at, you know, W Magazine that's mm-hmm. got fucking Mario Testino and these things. And you see these guys doing things that you just like, wow. Like, amazing.
See, I think there's definitely technically sound people in the industry that can shoot a solid image, but I think the creativity can be a touch low
and it's
in
hard.
General. And but also you're then pinned down by the companies. You know, say
exactly.
Wicked Pictures has been around for 30 years, or Vivid, they have their look that they like to have. So when they hire a photographer, when they hire Alan to go out and do it, they're expecting...
They want to... Right, and it's and you're being paid by them, so you got to give them what they want, correct?
I agree with that statement in that, like, my whole career has just been trying to hone in on, like, what people want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they want storyboards now. Right. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, you know? Like, and I'll do it. That's what I, you know, we're all professionals. But, yeah, I think it is about honing in on what people want, you know? And that's and the nice thing about the companies today, though, is they have a lot of data where it's not just some guy's opinion anymore, mm-hmm. which is great. Because that's how it was when I first got in the business. Like, oh, this guy says you're cool. You're in. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like that anymore. Like, now you really got to, like, put up or shut up, you know? Mm. And everything's based on data. Does this girl get how many clicks? Does this style get how many clicks?
Then they can look and say, like, oh, my God, you did this photo thing, and you did with this photographer, or you did this video, and it's like, wow, this got incredible clicks and sales, and let's do that again, as opposed to, we did this crazy thing, and nobody bought it, nobody looked at it, so let's keep going down this way. And that's why I said, well, I love the instant gratification of the internet. I can put up a photo set and literally find out, in a day, if it meant work
sure,
or didn't
what
work.
People, what people think. Briefly, I did want to talk on the tech side. What kind of camera are you shooting these days?
I'm a Canon guy, and I feel like I'm in a room of Nikon guys.
No, I own a 7D. I own a 7D. Okay, let's not get that wrong. But I don't have a lens.
I just recently gave up the Nikon that I held on to for years, and I moved over to the Canon family. And
no, I love Canon.
And I'm okay with myself.
Here's the thing. 30 years ago, it was all about Nikon. In 30 years later, it's all about Canon. It's the weirdest thing I always say to everybody. Like, back in the day, Canon was a joke. And then all of a sudden now, it's like Nikon's a joke.
I mean, when I was in school, owning a Nikon F5, which back then was probably, what, $2,500 for it, was... I have to have that. That's the pinnacle. And then medium format. And that was another thing is now, Richard, you shoot on
Hasselblad.
So you're shooting the more big boy camera, if you will.
Can I ask a quick question just out of curiosity? Mm-hmm. How much money did this Nikon F5 cost?
About $2,500 back in the
without a lens, probably. Yeah. I know
it's a nice paperweight now.
Without being digital or anything, huh?
Yeah. No, my F2 body with a drive at the time was $2,500 without a lens.
Oh, yeah. And when digital first came in, I remember going to Photo District News, PDN.
Yeah.
I used to go to, they had an expo here in LA, and they had Kodak, and I forget what I think they were like the DCS 790s, whatever, insert letters and numbers here. And I remember looking at those things, and they were $19,000 and $20,000 in the late 90s.
Hey,
this is before the Nikon
D1. Do you know what I paid for my camera? My camera, between all the payments and the interest and everything I paid almost $45,000 for what I use.
Yeah.
And now I can buy it on eBay for 15.
And I think the early technology, the people that bought into that in 1999 are the people that will forever be paying off that credit card.
A week after I bought my camera, my friend bought a BMW and it was cheaper than my camera.
That's insane.
It is the ultimate driving machine, though, isn't it?
I know. But I said to her, I get better gas mileage.
But you get come on, Hasselblad has the pedigree.
Right.
Hasselblad was on the moon.
Yeah, but do you also see what they cost now? Like the new 5D, whatever it is. It's like it's all digital because they've gone digital. It's like $28,000. I'm like, who in the right? Why would you spend $28,000 on a camera?
And if you're going to buy the expensive camera, you have to have the Profoto packs to go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could easily, if I wanted to be really cool and have all the techie gear, I could walk into a store that had everything and spend $100,000 on equipment in a heartbeat. Like, I can just go through and I want this, I want this, I want that Ellen Chrome umbrella that's $11,000. I don't care. I want that, you know. So
I leave that up. I leave those up to the doctors and the lawyers who take photography as a hobby.
Yes.
And they all, when I was a kid, they used to always have all the cameras I wanted, but couldn't take a picture for the life of them.
Richard, do you use a lot of equipment in your shooting? I thought I talked to somebody who was assistant of yours, and I'm like, this guy came in and he had like one light, man. He was killing
it. That's it. You know? I'm lazy, and I'm old, but mainly lazy. One light. That's it.
He's old school. He comes from that, you know, with there used to be when I was the people I was.
I come from a school. We'll talk about this off thing here. I'll explain stuff to you. I can tell you. I can show you exactly how I do everything. I don't care. I have no secrets to hide. But basically, I come from the school of, if you can't get it with one light, then you shouldn't be doing it to begin with. And it was like, and if you look at what like Avedon did and Penn did, it was always one light. And it was always these portraits that they were doing. So it's one light. It's either a 2K, a tungsten 2K. It's a ring light, which is sitting right there.
Here in the studio.
Which is like a $100 ring light. And then if it's strobe, it's one light. It's like one light. The most you'll ever see in my when I do clean white, that's not one light. That's the only time I use foreheads at that time. But it's not like your normal white setup.
That's cool.
We're gonna have to have a little class after this show.
I'm more than happy.
We'll sit down and we'll do this.
So are you doing that by like a higher ISO, or are you doing that by a more like wide open lens?
With the ring light, I usually shoot around ISO is always no more than I try to keep around 400, because my camera doesn't even go higher. My camera only goes to 800.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, because it's a medium format camera.
Yeah. So then the other thing is I also try to keep everything around. I don't mind shooting at 5.6 at 60th. I shot stuff at a second long. I don't care.
Oh, wow.
But it's like, it's all about it's just keeping it simple. My thing is I want the girls. I just kind of put them in a little space and say, this is your space. Go crazy. Do whatever you want to do. My job is just to capture what's happening in front of me. And I let them have their room and their space and then just like not get too technical about it. Cause many of times I'm too wasted to even think technical. And so, you know, I'm not lying. I always say, but like, I'm there we're having fun and we're just getting, you know, it's a good time,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's with Audrey. And so what happens is I just keep it simple. And a lot of times and then the other light I use is a joke. I don't know if you know what Joker is, HMI, 400 watt HMI. Yeah. So I use that especially in hotels. That's what I bring with hotels with me. And 9 times out of 10, I'm bouncing it off a ceiling or a wall. That's all I do. And the rest has to do with the lens. And it's all the combination of all the different things that I use that put it all together.
Well, gentlemen, ta-da. At this point, I think we've lost. I think we've lost our audience on the technical side of things. This is Popular Photography from 1995. I shot this at a 500.
Modern Photography magazine. Here.
Exactly, but we will definitely be talking about this over the next few hours. I'm quite sure. Stills by Alan. Thank you so much for coming out.
Painless.
Very, very awesome. Painless. We're very easy. And where can we find you again on the interwebs?
You can find my Twitter at StillsByAlan, A-L-A-N, and I have a website, StillsByAlan.com, and you can also see a lot of my recent work at Tumblr. How was it? StillsByAlan.tumblr.com.
We have an intern in the studio today that's been helping us out. So my name is Mo Reese. This has been More with Mo. You can check me out on Twitter at MoXXX, or Mox, as some people like to call me, or you can check out my blog, TheAverageMo.com. Thanks for listening.